We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Esley.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Hey, Doug, good morning.
Morning.
Winter's been back too long.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's the shortest, February's the shortest month day-wise, but it's the longest one on my head. It just doesn't go away.
I am worn out. I'm worn out.
But a month from today, I'll be down in... watching the Tigers.
Oh, man, I envy you. Yeah. You know, when I lived in Florida, I went to spring training a couple times, but I made the mistake. I should have gone every year because I was right there.
Yeah.
And I never went down there because they were right up the street from Tampa.
Right.
Yeah. But one more month. All right. And, yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Tigers, before we get started, all this other good stuff, Mario and Pimba. Did you see that?
Yeah, in Boston.
So Dave Dombrowski continues
to work our team.
Taking our team and our broadcasters.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Mario. We wish you much continued success in Boston. Right. Not too much success, although we know the Tigers aren't going to do a whole lot. But we want you all to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee. As I always like to say, as you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship and small business development across the great city of Detroit, my hometown, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show is streamed nationally via radio.com, and we know that it's going to be another cold one today. But lastly, got to say, Doug, I spent a few days in San Francisco. It was a wonderful experience to meet my grandson for the
How
very
was
first
time. Oh, come on, that, you know, that's a different tempo, isn't it? It's just when you have your grandchild in your hand, it's like, whoa.
You know what? For that one moment, I can honestly say this: nothing else mattered.
Exactly. It's a different world.
Congratulations, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, let's get started this morning. We have a great lineup of guests, as I referenced, and we're going to talk to Mr. Andy Mayoris.
Yep.
Does that get it right?
Yeah, nice to meet you.
He's part of a husband and wife powerhouse celebrity legal team, and they're doing some on-camera media work as well. They've got a TV show. We'll talk briefly about that. But he and his wife are lawyers. Is that right?
That's right.
Thanks for joining me this morning. Thank you for sharing that with me. And tell me a little bit about your day job. You and your wife, Danielle, are partners at Barron, Rosenberg, Mayoris, and Mayoris PC in Troy.
That's right. So I do what's called probate litigation. So it's a lot of family fighting over wills, trusts, estates. And my wife does estate planning. So those are our day jobs, and those are the two sides that our firm really specializes in. And several years ago, my wife said, Andy, I'm tired of hearing you complain. You always say you want to write a book. I don't want to hear you complain about it anymore. I'll write one with you. So we combined her estate planning background, my litigation background, and we ended up writing a book called Trial and Error's Famous Fortune Fights, and we started talking about celebrity estates to use that to teach people, hey, this is what you can do to avoid ending up in these same messes and not end up like all these clients that come to see me to fight in court.
Yeah, you had a very nice spread recently in the Detroit Free Press. We had a front page story there. It was a nice story about you and your wife.
It was a front page of the Life play section. One of those things. Yeah, it was.
Oh, come on, Andy. Section was on. I've been on the front page of the Detroit Free Press several times. Yeah. I know exactly. I've been in the Free Press. I know where I've been on page 3A, 5A. I'm just kidding with that. It was a wonderful story.
It was just funny because we've got three teenage kids, and they did this little markup of us from a picture we had taken. And it kind of made us look cartoonish, and my kids just thought it was the funniest thing ever. They tease us over how it looks.
We have celebrity parents. Well, let's talk about that. You have a new TV show called Fortune Fights, and it sounds like you have like a side career, basically. How did you guys segue into Fortune Fights?
Right. Well, it all started with that book we wrote, and that led to some media appearances. We actually have done interviews like on The Rachel Ray Show, Entertainment Tonight, CNN, and one thing led to another, and we ended up doing a recurring spot where we were legal experts on a celebrity documentary series called Celebrity Legacies on the Reels channel. So through that, we got to know some people at Reels, and we said, hey, we've got an idea for a TV show. So a few years ago, we pitched them this concept, and they liked it. So it turned out from these initial conversations leading to our own show called Fortune Fights, which now airs on the Reels channel Thursdays at 9 o'clock for 10 weeks. And each week we do a different celebrity in our documentary series.
And what exactly is the concept of Fortune? What is it, Fortune Fights?
Sure. So each week we take a different celebrity, and it's a documentary. So we talk about the fortune fights that celebrity's been through. So the first week was on Johnny Depp. So we talked about some of his divorce and some of his fights with his financial managers, where he was spending crazy, crazy sums of money and then sued his financial advisors and said, wait a minute, I'm broke. You guys must have given me bad advice. And they said, no, you were just spending too much money. So we take the legal twists and turns of those kind of fights. And last week we did Casey Kasem, which is really an interesting, sad story.
A Detroiter with the Wayne State.
A Detroiter, absolutely. And we've got a couple other Detroiters coming up. So we have Robin Williams coming up next week and Madonna the week after.
Really?
So it's interesting how it worked out that way. And then this week, the episode this Thursday night is on Harrison Ford.
Do you shoot these in Detroit or do you go to L.A.? Where are you producing the show?
Yeah, we actually worked with an L.A.-based production company, but they worked with the local studio here in Michigan. So we've actually filmed all 10 episodes and they're already done and in the editing process. But that was all done here in South, actually just right up the road from this studio. I mean, literally a 2-minute walk from here is where we filmed it. And so there are different other experts that appeared on different of the shows. So Michael Stone did a few shows. Mm-hmm. So somebody obviously well known to this station. So it was a lot of Michigan-based people ended up being on the show, which we thought was great. And it really was a fun, fun project.
Yeah, you said Madonna, I think, right?
Yes.
So essentially, or let's say Robin Williams, are you basically showing the behind the scenes or discussing the fights that take place over their fortunes?
Is that, exactly. Yeah. You've got it. Yeah. So Robin Williams, there's a few different legal battles that he went through during his life. And then after his tragic suicide, there's some fighting went on between his wife and his kids from prior marriages over his trust and how that was supposed to be divided. So we walk through that. We walk through his divorce that he went through his divorces that he went through when he was alive. And some other lawsuits that he was involved in. And we track his career and how he made his fortune. And it's really kind of an interesting aspect. It's got a biographical feel, but it goes beyond that into the legal battles of fights over money that my wife and I both find very interesting as lawyers.
We are talking to Andy Mayoras, and he is a partner at the Troy Law Firm of Barron Rosenberg and Mayoras and Mayoras. And he's a litigator here in the Motor City area, but we're also talking about his side gig, so to speak.
That's right.
He's expanded from the daily job of being a lawyer, a litigator, to really got involved in television in the concept called Fortune Fights. So let's kind of bring that down to maybe the average person as well. You made an interesting comment. We know about Robin Williams and the Madonnas of the world and other people that you referenced, Harrison Ford, are going through these challenges. Bring that down to maybe the person who's not a celebrity and why it's important to them. If they watch your show, what are they going to take from it? What are they going to learn from it?
Yeah, that's a very great, good question. That's something that my wife and I really tried to focus on when we wrote our book, for example. We didn't just want to share a bunch of celebrity stories. We wanted to say, hey, how can you use these stories to really end up so you take a lesson away and you don't end up fighting like these celebrities and their families have? So Robin Williams is a great example. So Robin Williams had a really well-written trust. And most people don't realize this, but most people can benefit from a trust. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a millionaire or certainly a billionaire to benefit from a trust. Because he had a very well-drafted trust, this family fight that sprung up after he died was very short-lived. It didn't get a lot of national attention. It wasn't dragging his family through the mud. It resolved, frankly, very quickly and quietly in the big scheme of things because his trust was so well-drafted. But the same issues we see these celebrity heirs fighting about, those are the same issues that my clients come to me about in Troy. Now, they're fighting over different dollar figures, but it's the same type of issues. I mean, you look at someone like Aretha Franklin.
I was going to say Aretha's a great example.
She didn't even have a will. Two-thirds of adult Americans don't even have a will. So it's just such a great wake-up. You know, even if you don't have a lot of money, families fight, especially when there's no will. So just doing that estate planning and seeing an attorney like my beautiful wife, Danielle, is just so important.
And speaking of fighting and couples, We certainly love our spouses or significant others, no question. We always have challenges as well, whatever that might be. But let alone working with your spouse as a partner, I'm assuming you guys are business partners
we
as
are.
Well.
We are.
And now starting an entrepreneurial venture. How has that been working with your, in this case, your spouse? What have been some of the challenges? How have you been able to navigate those challenges?
It's interesting at times. Yeah, we are both very accomplished jugglers, I would like to say. So we met the very first day of law school, and then we studied through our classes together. We took the bar together, which was a very a difficult experience. And we always said, hey, if we can get through the bar together and stay together, we can do anything. And that's really been our attitude. So at our law firm, since we do different types of practice areas, we don't have cases together. We're mm-hmm. not working day-to-day with each other. But this other business that we have built around the book and now the TV stuff that we do work directly hand-in-hand together. And it's interesting because sometimes one of us may do an interview, for example, while the other of us has to go to a doctor appointment with one of our kids or deal with stuff at the office. So it's just a juggling act. And luckily, we manage somehow. Well, she puts up with me. I don't know.
Well, obviously, she's putting up with you. You got three wonderful kids. You got a wonderful family. What law school did you guys go to, by the way?
We went to U of M in Ann Arbor.
You know, the only reason I sensed that, because we started this conversation talking about U of M basketball, and I kind of made a comment about U of M. You were kind of, basically they had a bad game.
Rough,
but they'll
rough
be back.
Game.
They'll
rough
be,
game. Yes,
they'll
yes.
be back.
They will be back. They always turn it on in March.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and people always want to know, how can they get a cable TV show? I mean, how did you – people ask me all the time, how did I do radio and all this other stuff I do? And I'm on TV here in Detroit as well. But how did you get a cable television show?
It's a lot of effort, but it also is a lot of luck. I mean, it's really both. Because our book came out almost 10 years ago now. So we've been doing different things on TV. It's been kind of growing slowly over time. For almost that whole time period, we did a PBS special that aired on PBS. That was a one-time thing. From that, it led to us getting this repeating a TV appearance that we were on Celebrity Legacies that I talked about earlier. And it was through that we got to know the people at Reels who, in doing some promotion for that other series, we were able to open doors to conversations and say, hey, we've got this other idea for another TV show. And they listened. They liked it. And then we were introduced to a production company in L.A. who's actually an Emmy Award-winning production company. It's the same company that did the Leah Remini Scientology series, mm-hmm. which is really an interesting series. So it was a lot of hard work, but a lot of pieces had to fall into place at the right timing, that kind of stuff. So it's a combination.
Yeah, that's very cool. In our closing moments together, so let's restate one more time. When can people watch the show and time and station again?
Sure. So it's the Reels channel, which is a cable network. You can always go to our website, danielleandandy.com, and there's links in there. Or you can go directly to reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z. And it's got the listing and times for the different shows. It airs Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, and they do rerun them periodically. And then we've also got some information on our law firm through our website mm-hmm. at brmmlaw.com.
Hmm. So, and the last question before we break, is this a 10-week test?
This is a first season.
A first season.
So the network bought 10 episodes.
Gotcha.
And if they like it, you know, they'll renew for a second season. So we'll wait and see how that goes.
Well, Andy Mayorkas, thank you very much for coming in. Please say hello to your wife, Danielle.
I will.
And we wish you success with your show.
Thank you.
And I'll be tuning in.
Great. Thanks. It was really nice to meet you, Mark. Thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
Very nice to meet you as well. That's Mr. Andy Mayorkas, and he's a litigator in Troy. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee, brought to you by Domino's. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying this, well, the conversation on this cold Motor City day, Motor City weekend. But you know what? At the end of the day, Doak made a very good point. Doak, you said in the very opening comments, in 1 month you're going to be down at Lakeland, Florida.
Yep.
Watching our beloved Detroit Tigers.
That's right.
All right. And you're going to be bathing in that sun, right?
That's the plan.
We'll still be bathing in the snow.
Yeah.
But that's all right. We are in Michigan. All right. Our next special guest is Ms. Kim Gomez. And she is the type of person that you don't forget. If for the past 16 years, Kim has founded businesses in several different sectors in both the U.S. and Mexico. And she's the founder and CEO of My Padrino. Is that right, Kim?
Mi padrino.
Oh, yes. Me. All right, you say it for me. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Okay, it's mi padrino.
Mi padrino. I knew it, but I tried it. So, hey, give me a round of applause, Kim. Come on, you can do it.
You did a great job.
All right, thank you. But this is the event, and it's an event planning, crowd gifting platform for Latina families. Kim, good morning, and thanks for joining me. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. The weather is a little rough outside, but no, life in Michigan's good.
Life in Michigan's good, and yes, we do have four seasons, and I'm going to go back and practice my Spanish after this discussion today. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. All right. Talk to us about yourself, and then briefly about your business, and we'll unpack it from there.
Yeah, no, not a problem. So my name's Kim Gomez, and I'm the CEO and founder of Mi Padrino. I've been married into the Hispanic culture for the last 16 years, and, you know, being a girl that was born and raised in Michigan, I didn't have a lot of traditions or culture even growing up, and when I met my husband, I just fell in love with the Hispanic community and the culture. And one tradition in particular was the Padrino tradition. So the Padrino tradition is if you're planning a wedding or a quinceañera, a Hispanic, you know, the coming of age birthday, you know, they use padrinos or friends, which actually translates to godfather or sponsor. And it's typically friends and family to help pay for your event. So if you're planning a wedding, you know, all of your friends and family will actually come instead of buying you, you know, bridal shower gifts. They actually help pay for things for your event, like the venue, the bar, the dress, you name it, they have padrinos for it. And I absolutely love this part of the tradition, but I hated the process because everyone was helping contribute to things offline. I mean, if you can imagine Hispanic families living hundreds, if not thousands of miles apart, how to organize an event like a wedding, or the average quinceañera is $25,000, so it's just as big as a wedding, and to try to organize all of that offline, I saw there to be a huge opportunity. So we launched Mi Padrino, and that's, you know, we launched it now 2 years ago, and it's been kind of growing like wildfire.
And what's interesting about your background is you're not Spanish, are you?
Nope. I'm a 6-foot-tall, blonde, you know, green-eyed girl.
And I want to point that out because when you and I had a conversation this past week, you brought that to my attention. We were talking over the phone. I've never met you before. I've seen your picture. They sent me your bio. They sent me your photo. But yet, like you said, as I was going through your bio, you said you fell in love. You've adopted the, quote, tradition-rich Hispanic culture as your own. And you and your husband have 5 beautiful kids together. You've been married for 16 years. So what was it about the culture? Someone who's not Latina, like you said, you're 6 feet, you're blonde. And what was it about the culture that really pulled you in, which is very cool to hear?
Yeah, so there's so many different pieces about the culture. You know, I joke that it's, you know, maybe the food or the dancing or the tequila. You know, I have 5 kids, so I've had plenty of tequila in my day.
I hear you about that one.
Yeah, but it's really about, you know, the community coming together for everything. I mean, whether it's, you know, coming to support someone in their, you know, their son's baseball game, or like on the, you know, other extreme, you know, with these big events that, you know, really the community comes together. And, you know, sometimes these families have, you know, little at home, but they'll go without to be able to provide for their loved ones. And that's just not in their own families, but it's your friends and family, people that you grew up with. And I just really love that. I mean, I don't know of other families in my own community that would do that. Even my family that would do that. And so when I looked into this culture, and it's like, I just thought it was so absolutely so beautiful. And there's just so many other traditions, I mean, around holidays that are just so beautiful. And those different things, I mean, we're raising our kids with the Hispanic culture. And I'm just so proud. Even though I might not look the part, I'm mm-hmm. so proud to be part of this community.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of our country, the diversity of our country, and people adopting different backgrounds, and I think that's what it's about, to be quite candid with you, Kim, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, you're an entrepreneur as well, and what were you doing before you started your business?
Yeah, so my husband and I, our background is in restaurants, mm-hmm. so I sell tacos for a living. I mean, we have Mexican-American restaurants. We had our first restaurant in Jackson, Michigan, right after we got married. We opened our doors there, and then from there, we've had that restaurant. We had another restaurant when it was a banquet facility, so that got us into planning events, you know, hands-on, behind the scenes. Then we also own real estate. We've, you know, reinvested our, you know, what we've made over the years there. And that's where, you know, when I had this idea, I said, you know, I don't know one thing about software or about, I'm a non-technical founder. But I know a lot about building amazing teams. And so that's really what we've done at Meatbuzzino. And I really credit my team for all of our success.
So what I'm really getting at here is that we're talking to Kim Gomez, and she's an entrepreneur and doing some things. You're out of Jackson, Michigan, I believe. Is that right? Out of Jackson? Is that right?
Yeah, so we have an office in Ann Arbor and one in Jackson as well.
Ann Arbor and Jackson. And she's really kind of giving you a wonderful recap of her background and how she's really adopted the Hispanic culture. And she's not Hispanic. And she's also gone through a series of businesses and where she's landed, she and her husband. And I'm going to say it right, these guys. Everybody's staring at me now. Here we go. Is it me, Padrino, right?
You did great.
Yeah, I did it. All right. So she started her own business, and they make it easy for families to plan weddings and much more things. It basically put you at ease. They do things online and things of that sort. So, and she's representing women entrepreneurs, which is the fastest group, one of the fastest demographic groups from a business standpoint in the country. So she's kind of giving you her background and her story and how she's adopted the Hispanic culture as her own and how she's raising her kids. So your business, are you and your husband co-owners of the business or not?
Yes, we're co-founders, yep.
And the reason I asked that question, our first segment this morning, we talked to a lawyer. Yeah, he and his wife are partners in a law firm, and they also just started a cable TV show together. And I'm going to ask you the exact same question I asked him, was working with your spouse. And mm-hmm. how has that been? How are you able to separate the personal from the professional and navigate the potential issues that could be out there working with the person that you live with every day?
Well, right out, you know, our situation is maybe different from others. That after many years of being married, you know, I feel like some couples, you know, after they've been married for many years, they decide they want to own a business. My husband and I were one of the day. We got married, and that first year we opened our first business. And so we don't know another way to live. But what's really nice about us is that there's really not a distinction from work and home. I mean, obviously, if you can imagine, we have five kids. I mean, our life is straight chaos, I feel like, most of the time, control chaos. But we're a great team. I mean, I joke that we're like great co-parents, and we're happily married, but sometimes I feel like, you know, we have to pass the buck. You know, like one day he's running the business and I'm, you know, with the kids doing the mom thing, and the mm-hmm. same thing. I'm back at work and he's home with the kids, and we just are this great team. You have to really have that sync with your partner, whether that be your business partner or your life partner. And I'm happy to say that that same partner is both, you know, my husband. And it works out really well. I mean, we learned a long time ago, you can't fight about work, can't fight about money, because that'll just come home with you. And so we learned a long time ago that, you know, work is work and home is home, but we do have this kind of magical relationship that, you know, we don't fight. We work really well together, and I wouldn't pick up, you know, I have the best partner out there. So,
but you make a good point.
It's kind of sappy.
But you make a good point. I think you're hitting on an interesting point is, you and your husband have been able to find that balance in your life as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said sometimes, you know, he may run a business for a day, you may run a business for a day. That's what you guys talk about. My point is, you have open lines of communication. You realize that you have a family. You found that balance in running a business and raising a family. And just listening to your conversation, to our conversation this morning, you sound very much at peace. And very much happy. Now, just certainly, let's be honest here. There's also going to be challenges that people have to overcome. We get
It's not always just such a sweet road. But at the same time, you have to be grounded and know that, you know, when there are these challenges, that there will, nothing will come positive out of it. If you fight at work, then it's going to go home with you, especially if you're working with your spouse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a long time ago, we just, you know, we don't let a lot of things bother us. We just work through the challenges, because if not, I mean, it will be straight chaos. So you really have to find that balance.
Are you able to separate the work from the personal life? So in other words, when you come home at night, do you continue that conversation about work, or whatever the case might be? Or do you say, okay, we're going to sit back in Jackson or Ann Arbor, Jackson, Michigan, and we're going to watch the Tigers on cable. We're going to watch whatever, the Detroit sports teams or Michigan or Michigan State or whatever the case might be. How do you are you able to separate that, so to speak?
Well, we do love our Tigers.
Absolutely. Win or lose.
But, yeah, win or lose. So, yes and no. I mean, being an entrepreneur, you work the crazy hours. Your mind never stops. And so you will take work home with you. That's all part of being an entrepreneur. So those who are listening who aren't into entrepreneurs, you might not get that. But those of you that are, you know, obviously being an entrepreneur, you're working nights, weekends, you're working in your dreams. I mean, you wake up thinking about things for work. And so as far as for us, I mean, we try, you know, especially around our kids, not talk about work. And so if you can imagine, when we're at home or around our kids, we try to turn our cell phones off, or at least keep them away, you know, when we're at, you know, events, or when we're out to dinner, or when we're at, you know, around the kids. And so that's kind of the something mentally that we have to tell ourselves to do. But if there's something that comes up and we want to talk about work, I mean, let's talk about work, because we both love what we do. So it's almost like if somebody was to talk about their hobby. I mean, we really don't have hobbies. So we like talking about work and things that can help the business. But for the most part, we keep that during the day, you know, keep work during business hours, and, you know, family and our lives, you know, at night.
Well, you're talking about another thing called passion. You love what you do. And not only do you love your family and your husband and vice versa, I'm sure, but you love what you do, but you also have a passion for everything that you're doing. And, you know, that, and I like to tell people in our closing moments together, as you're starting a business, as you're looking to grow a business, and, you know, you have to have some type of support from someone. You know, that would be nice. You and your husband balance each other out. You do have support. Not everybody has that support, but you have friends for supporters as well. It's important to find that support mechanism to help you as you continue to start a business, to grow a business. If you're trying to, you know, certainly we have a business one later in this show. They've been in business for nearly 100 years in the city of Detroit. Nearly 100 years. We're going to hear the story a little bit. But before we go, is there a website that you could share with us so that people go check you out? What is it?
Yeah, it's mipadrino.com, which is MIPADRINO. And currently we're helping over, you know, 250,000 families across the country planning their Hispanic weddings or their quinceañeras. And we'd just love for you to check us out.
You know, got to get you over to Detroit. We can all go hang out in Mexican Town. How's that?
I know, that'd be great. You know, when you're talking about stressors, I plan fiestas for a living. I mean, work really isn't that hard.
you do have the best part of it. I was down in Mexican Town a couple weeks ago, and I had a blast. I spent all Sunday down just hanging out. Kim, we want to thank you very much for calling in. And stay safe and stay dry in Jackson, Michigan. And we really appreciate all that you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You do as well.
Thank you very much. We'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Kessley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Kessley, brought to you by Domino's. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the conversation that we have each and every single week with you. And I just want to give my shout-outs, to my weekly shout-outs to everyone, and specifically to AM 1270 here in the Motor City. And you might be listening to us on AM 1270 or reading the Free Press for your mobile technology here in Detroit. Or you might be listening to us from across the country via radio.com, WWJNewsRadio.com, EliteGroupInnovation.com, TheHubDetroit.com, or SoundCloud.com. Yes, we have all these .coms. We want you to sit back and relax and read your local newspaper and your hot cup of coffee, drink a hot cup of coffee, or you might be reading your mobile technology. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation with our very next special guest from the Motor City. Her name is Nicole Bienemy.
Did I get it right? You got it right.
And she owns Voluptuous be enemies.
Yes.
Did I do it right?
You did it great.
Don't come on.
Come on. I'm surprised. All right.
I'm going to clap on that.
Anyway, it's a boutique which offers fashions and accessories for the curvy modern woman, a group of women not to be dismissed, as curvy women make up nearly 70% of women shoppers. Nicole, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark.
You are such a joy. You got me smiling already.
Well, good.
Good.
See, you had to smile after you said that name.
I know, that's right. All right. Okay. All right. Let's get back to our discussion. You had a career in finance.
Yes.
And also in banking.
Yes.
And so talk to us how you made that transition from banking into the fashion category and ultimately becoming a business owner.
Okay. Well, I used to work for the Federal Reserve during that downturn we had in 2007. And so they hired so many people because, you know, all the banks were, you know, in uproar and messing up. So I was hired in to do some of that work going to banks. And after the, you know, the downturn and the banks started doing good, you know, they didn't need as many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got laid off. So I had been working since I was 16. So I sat down and I said, well, Nicole, what are you going to do with yourself? You always wanted to be an entrepreneur. What is it that you want to do? And I love fashion. I love clothes. And I hate looking for clothes because I became plus size. And I'm like, I need to really get into fashion for the plus size woman. And that's what I did. I jumped head in.
Does Detroit have a lot of fashion focus on the plus? In other words, a lot of stores?
No, it's not. It's not that many out there. Some dibble and dabble in it, but not too many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what fueled your journey was there was a need.
It was a need.
There was a gap.
Yes, a gap, especially in the city.
You find clothes for everybody else,
mm-hmm.
and then specifically what you're looking for in the city, you just couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. You have to go to all the big, you know, big box stores to find it. And, you know, once you do that, then you're looking like everybody. You go out and you have the same dress on somebody else has on, and you're like, oh, really? Ah, no, not again.
See, you got me laughing so much, I'm about to cough, but here I go. There you go. See, so people listening this morning, we have a lot of people in this town wanting to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
And did you receive any type of training? I mean, talk to them about the process that you went through.
Well, you know what? I went to Wayne State and I got my management degree and I specialized in entrepreneurship. And I didn't do anything that the school told me to do. I just jumped head in. But I'm a researcher, so I researched a lot of stuff. So, you know, online, Google is your best friend for all those entrepreneurs out there. You can find just about anything you need as far as wholesaling, vendors, and things of that nature. So, you know, go in, do your research first, and then, you know, start pricing out things. So that's what I did. I started doing my research, trying to find, you know, different suppliers for myself. Found a few, you know, and I started.
So Google was a good resource for you. You went to Wayne State,
mm-hmm.
and Wayne State has a great program down there called Tech Town where mm-hmm. they house different entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
But what about, and I'm not getting to your personal life, I'm mm-hmm. asking about your personal financials, mm-hmm. but your financial resources. Mm-hmm. How did you get a loan, or did you have able to save up enough resources?
Talk to listeners about that process. Well, you know, when I got laid off, I got a big lump sum. And so I used part of that. I used credit cards. And as to fuel my business more, you know, the thing that everybody does not like to do, I had a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
I borrowed against it. I loaned against my 401k, and that's what I did to fuel my business.
But do you recommend now people looking back on it,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned credit cards. It reminds me of when Spike Lee did his very first movie, one of his very first movies. And I believe it was called She's Gotta Have It.
Mm.
It was back in the mid-80s. And I saw that movie. I was living in Chicago. And he pulled out his American Express card.
Mm.
And it was a low-budget movie.
Mm.
So he was able to put all of his production costs on his credit card.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was cool. But then, of course, he made millions of dollars that he was able to pay off in no time.
Mm.
So using your experience, if someone's listening this morning and they're getting excited, you say, maybe I should use my credit card. What do you tell that person?
Be very cautious when it comes to using your credit card. Make sure that you're paying it back because guess what? That, you know, when you have your small business like that, you have to keep fueling it. And you're always putting more money back in. And if you're not paying that credit card bill, guess what? that credit score is going to tank.
So it's one thing to use your credit card, and it's another thing not to pay it off.
Exactly.
And that's when you run. That's when you run the risk.
Exactly.
And so, in other words, what she's telling is giving some great advice. We're talking about Nicole Bieniemy.
Hey,
this
there you
morning.
Go.
She's the owner of Voluptuous Bieniemy on 6 Mile. Some people say McNichols, but it's a chutey twitter.
6 Mile.
It's 6 Mile. What's the address, by the way, on 6 Mile?
19326 West 6 Mile Road.
Right. Or some people say McNichols. So she's giving some great advice on how she started her business, but she's also telling you how to use and not to use credit cards. Sometimes, you know, credit is easy these days.
Credit is very easy, and it can get you in trouble.
It can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And ultimately, then people start mixing their personal with their professional.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, things just get thrown up like popcorn and salad. You kind of toss it and everything into it.
Exactly. So, you know, be very, very cautious when it comes to those credit cards.
So your business is focused on the curvy modern day woman.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Who is she?
Who is she?
Yeah.
She is a woman that loves to go out and look nice wherever she goes, whether that is at the office, whether that's after office when you're going to get a cocktail, or whether she's going to pick up her child at school. She wants to look nice everywhere she goes, you know? That's that woman. That's that modern woman of today. Because, you know, us women, we do a lot of things. You know, we work, we take care of the kids, but sometimes we don't always take care of ourselves, but we always want to look good while we're doing it.
And what are some of the misconceptions about the plus-size woman?
Oh, well, misconceptions as far as clothing
as far as the fashion industry.
Yes. They think we love to have stripes on. They think they love to put big flowers on us. You know, that's just not who we are. We want to be sexy and we want to look good. You know, we want to look attractive, too, like the couture woman.
Oh, man. I'm just looking at you and I'm just smiling. You had this infectious attitude and smile. And I think that by itself takes you to another level.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's so cool. And so how long has your business been around?
We've been in business for about 5 years. 5 years, yes. So I don't really say the first year because that was my research year because, you know, I had to do the research and, you know, even though I did a couple things. So I'm going to say it's 5 years, but really four.
But what surprised me, what further impresses me about you is you opened up your store in your neighborhood.
Yes, in my neighborhood.
Why?
Because you know what?
Everybody, you can go anywhere. You can go into the suburbs, other parts of the city, but you stayed in your neighborhood. Why?
Well, I stayed in my neighborhood. One, I'm a true Detroiter. I grew up, born and raised here. And I grew up near Grand River. And Grand River used to be the place to shop.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I stayed near Grand River as well. And I wanted somewhere that people can shop local. You know, you don't have to drive 20 and 30 minutes to go out, you know, go out to Somerset or go out to Fairlane. You know, you want to be in the city. You want to walk out your door, get on your bike, and ride to where you want to go or walk to where you want to go. So that's why I chose being in the community that I am. Work, live in your own community, and shop.
Yeah, you know, and we were laughing. So basically, we in the same general vicinity. I grew up. And back in the day, for me, it was Living Away. You know, I was off the 7 Mile. I'm going to give a specific street, obviously, but near 7 Mile and out of Drive area. And there were all types of shops up 7 Mile. But from our standpoint, people would go to the Avenue of Fashion back in the day. And the fact that you have invested in your neighborhood and you're starting, you know, hopefully you're hiring people, that you're starting to provide employment, economic development opportunities, even as an entrepreneur, for people in the neighborhood. That's a cool thing.
Yes, yes, yes. And work, live, and shop. That's all. Work, live, and shop. You know, people want to, you know, when they get home, you know, when you get off work, you just need that downtime.
Yeah.
But if you want to go shopping, you should have that downtime and say, hey, I could just get up and walk around the corner.
How do you advise or give tips to those who may be looking for that career change and then they're thinking about they want to pursue their lifelong passion, they want to start a business, but they want to start a business in a Detroit neighborhood? What do you tell that person?
You know what? Always do your research. Do your research. Look in your community. Look to see what the need is, what your passion is, because you need to have a passion for whatever you do, because that makes you not feel like you're working. I have a passion for what I do. So have a passion for whatever you do and just start your research. And there's a lot of local community based places. Like I belong to a 6 Mile Business Association. You know, start with your associations or community places and find out what the need is or what you can fit that niche into your own community.
Yeah. So do your research, right? Mm-hmm. Have a plan. Mm-hmm. Get engaged with different associations. There's that support group.
Yeah. Get into Tech Town because that's a good resource for all small businesses. They always have free seminars for us.
So basically, you're still not alone. Sometimes you feel like on this island.
No, you're not on an island. There's so many entrepreneurs that I've learned with the different programs I've been in that, you know, you keep in contact with, that they help you because you need that help, you know, from those people to get their horror stories, or they have connections that you don't have.
So. You know what I've been noticing about Detroit, too? We know there's been a lot of discussion about downtown, midtown, now Corktown and other areas that are certainly going through those revivals. But in the last several weeks, I've seen several stories, and I'm pretty much in tune to what's going on. Not in tune to everything, but I have seen several stories of new restaurants opening up outside of those areas. Mm-hmm. And that is so cool to see. There was one lady who opened up a store. I think it was 1 6 Mile. Mm-hmm. She opened up a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it's been maybe 2 or 3 other stores. So it's cool to see that people are beginning to try to get the economic development. We need a lot more.
You
need more. But it's good to see that people are beginning to do that and expand their horizons.
Yeah. We have a lot of great restaurants on 6 Mile. Mm-hmm. We have Pasta Bowl. We have Spud Heads. We have Mr. B's. We have the Caribbean Kitchen. We have quite a few different ones.
Well, you know, you're from Detroit and Coles, and I forgot to ask one question.
Sure.
What high school?
Redford, not Myers.
You mean, was it Cass Tech?
No. I went to Redford High School, which is now Myers.
Is it Myers now?
It's Myers.
Okay. Well, one more time before we break very quickly, the address and the website.
Okay. I am located at 19326 West McNichol, 6 Mile for those people that live in Detroit, 48219. And the website is www.vbienaeboutique.com. And you also can find me on social media as well.
Nicole, thank you very much. You're a delight, and we appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. My pleasure. There'll be more guests at this commercial break, including a business that's been in business for nearly 100 years on Small Talk with Mark Essie, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Essie, brought to you by Domino's. As you can see, we're having a great time this morning, a great diversity of discussions, businesses, and conversations. And we're going to continue that this morning with our very next special guest. His name is Mr. Joshua Moss, and he's with Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Supply, which is a century-old business that won a Commerce Design Detroit Award, which is a new initiative brought to Detroit from Montreal, which is another UNESCO City of Design, to honor businesses in Detroit, to honor working with local designers investing in Detroit neighborhoods. Now, one of the things about their business, Advanced Plumbing, they have been in the Motor City for nearly 100 years, 99 years. Joshua, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Good.
100 years.
100 years in business.
In the city of Detroit.
In the city of Detroit, four generations of family members.
Wow. So, you know, we'll come back to that in a second. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's unheard of, you know, in this day and age. I mean, the Ford family's been in business for over 100 years, but that's right. Wow. So Commerce Design Detroit is open to businesses and their designers that have been built in the last 5 years. So how does a business that's 100 years old qualify? So in other words, the award itself is designed primarily for those or people winning it less than 5 years old. But you're 100 years old. How did you qualify?
Yeah, 100 years old.
Talk
so
to us.
My great-grandfather started the business in 1920. My grandfather took on the business, and my grandfather, who was second generation, passed away in 2012. And with that, my father took over the business, and I was just graduating Michigan State. So I helped my father join the business in 2012, and we took over the business. And Detroit was just beginning this revitalization. Mm-hmm. And we saw there was an opportunity here. We were the only plumbing guy in town. We were the only, at that time, a contractor counter in the city of Detroit within the limits. And so we said we need to find a bigger building. We need to expand our operations if we're going to be successful in the city and with this resurgence. And so we found a building in the heart of Midtown Detroit, and we relocated down there in 2016.
Yeah. You know, and as we were chatting about this past week, I made a comment. I said, you told me where you were. And I said, I remember where you were. Yeah. Over there, you said Carl's Shop House. I knew exactly where you were.
Yep.
Because you said the Motor City Casino. I started to put two and two together.
Yep.
And then you said the Wonder Bread building,
yep,
which is what the casino used to be.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And you were right across the street from there.
Directly across the street.
I remember that.
Yep. So my grandfather always used to say that we were not next to Carl's Trap House. Carl's Trap House was next to us.
Now, do you still have a location there?
No, that building's gone
it's
now.
Gone
so
now?
Yeah, we relocated a whole operation to Midtown Detroit on the corner of Cass and Parsons. And we moved our contractor counter originally. And then just 6 months ago, we opened up Detroit's first ever decorative plumbing showroom.
Okay, let's talk about that.
You know,
Advanced Plumbing is one of 10 winners to receive the People's Choice Award, one of 10 businesses, for, you know, Foundation Hotels, some other restaurants, for example. So,
yeah.
But you're the only business in the retail space to win that, right? The only retail business to win.
Yeah, correct. So there was 10 businesses that won the Commerce Design Award. And after that, there was a People's Choice Award, and the people of Michigan and of Detroit chose us as one of the best businesses.
Why is that? What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, so the other 10 businesses that won, or the other 9 businesses that won, there's lots of restaurants and bars down there already. What we brought to the city never existed. We are the first ever decorative plumbing showroom in the city of Detroit. So we brought something unique, but we made it a fun experience. We have lots of working displays, so working shower heads and toilets and bathtubs. So you can really see and feel and touch the technology before you buy it. A lot of people don't know all these new technologies. They only remodel their house every 5-10 years. People only remodel their kitchens every 20 years. And so with that, there's so many new technologies that come out that people aren't aware of. So I made it interactive, and it's fun. It's a beautiful open space, and there's a lot of history in the building as well.
But you go back to 1920.
Yep.
And 1920 was a boom time for the city.
Yeah.
People were moving up, and then we topped out at nearly 2 million people in 1950 in the 50s, and sort of we've gone through a transition. We've kind of gone through the civil unrest a couple of times in the 1940s on Belle Isle, of course, in the 1960s, a famous one, of course. But yet you stayed. A lot of businesses fled. So why – I know – I'm trying to understand why did your granddad at the time say, we're keeping the business here, whatever your father shared with you or whoever may have shared with you. I'm just curious.
The customers.
Really?
It's that simple. Even
with the changing dynamics of the neighborhood.
Even with the changing dynamics of the neighborhood. Being a 100-year-old business, I'm fourth generation myself. My father's in the business. My brother and my mother are all in the business. We are dealing with generational customers as well. Our customers that are now coming in that are in their 50s and 60s, they remember coming in with their grandfathers and with their fathers. So not only are we generational, our customers are generational, and we stayed there for them. We're in this together with them, and we want to help rebuild the city with them.
That is outstanding.
Yeah.
And you also have a second location, I believe, right?
Yeah, we have a second location up in the suburbs in Walled Lake, Michigan, which also has a contractor counter and a state-of-the-art showroom as well.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting is I grew up in a city a long time ago, and there were a lot of independent stores, independent stores, independent grocery stores. And now, like Detroit and all the other cities, big and small, across the entire country, we got these large box chain stores coming in.
Oh, yeah.
So what makes you different from those big retailers coming in that have absorbed and swallowed the smaller independent family-run stores?
Yeah, so I mean, we offer, so as far as the showroom goes, the decorative plumbing side, we offer products that are from all over the world. They're not the Me Too products that you'll find at a big box store like a Lowe's or Home Depot. Everything is unique and different. And you also have expert sales staff that can help you design the bathroom, help out pick out the fixtures that are right for you. And on the contractor side, we carry all these old fittings that the city of Detroit needs that the big box stores don't carry. We're able to help you redo your boiler, new water heater, all your lead fittings in there. So we have these fittings and these products that you can't find in these big box stores to help your house keep going.
We are talking to Joshua Moss. He's the vice president with Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Supply here in Detroit, and now they expanded into Walled Lake. And this is a nearly 100-year-old business.
Yeah.
When are you going to turn 100, by the way, the business? What year?
Next year. 2020.
So nearly a 100-year-old business that have stayed in Detroit, ups and downs. They've been here. They're not going anywhere. So – as we talk about, I asked you earlier, why Detroit? You said because of our customers.
Yeah.
Who are they? Now, I know you said they're generational people.
Yeah.
Do they come in from the city? Do they come in from suburban areas? A 50-50 split?
Yeah. So most of our customers were within the city. Detroiters, they like staying in the city. They don't like going anywhere else. They want to have everything in the city. But now with this revitalization, we have a lot of contractors coming from the suburbs. So we cater towards builders, plumbers, architects, designers, kitchen and bath shops, remodelers, and even homeowners as well.
I mean, you know, as you're talking and all this redevelopment that's taking place in the city, are you able to latch on to, for example, some of the developers? Do you have relationships with them? Or is it primarily, are your customers primarily, you know, families with homes or apartment dwellers or whatever the case
may be? So we're doing everything.
We worked on
the new Little Caesars Arena. We put some fixtures in there. We just signed a contract with the Detroit Public Schools. We're redoing all their water filtration systems in the schools there to get rid of their lead.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. So yeah, we're doing a lot of high-rise apartments and condos on top of those single-family homes, multi-unit condos and everything. So we're really touching everything. We do a lot of residential and commercial as well.
So you won us a major award.
Yes.
What does it mean to you?
It put Detroit on the map. So winning this award, it really showed that Detroit's coming back. Detroit is a happening city. We were once the Paris of the West, and now we're making a resurgence. We have four beautiful sports teams, four beautiful new stadiums. Detroit's coming back, and this award solidified that. It also solidified that everything that we're doing in Detroit is actually worth it.
Hmm.
So it's been unbelievable.
Do you recommend working with a professional designer?
Yeah, I do. Designer or even a contractor and modeler, they're able to help you pick out all the fixtures, match all the colors, all the finishes, your tile and everything. And the contractors are able to tell you what you can and can't do as far as moving a toilet to a different spot in your bathroom or expanding your shower or something like that. So, yeah, people try doing it on their own sometimes, and it usually takes a lot longer. And we're more than happy to help people like that, though, too, walk them through the process.
You know what's so cool talking to you? We have a lot of Detroiters. We have the old-time Detroiters.
Yeah.
Which I consider myself one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not old or anything like that, but I mean, I was born and raised here.
Yeah.
And I certainly have certain memories of the city. And then we have a lot of younger people who are moving into the city, into parts of the city.
Yeah.
They don't have that same affiliation or understanding yet of what the people who have been here through tough times and, you know, best times, the better times now.
True.
But to watch them get engaged with you, I see someone whose family has been here, and then I see that they pass that commitment down from generation to generation. In other words, you're not coming in to take advantage of the gentrification or this newfound enthusiasm.
No.
You have been here from day one, even as a young Moss.
Yeah.
Right. Does that, you understand where I'm coming with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I mean, we've been doing this since 1920. Mm. I mean, we've been in the city for so long that it's part of us. It's part of who we are. It's part of our DNA, being in Detroit, servicing Detroit, and being in the city. And I'm down there to help the city grow. We have a brand of ours called Rebuilding Detroit that we just got recently trademarked. We have a website where you can buy Rebuilding Detroit clothing on it as well, and we're partnering with Detroit Public Schools to do that. Detroit's part of who we are, and we want to help give back to the city. We're not here to take advantage of anything. We want to help the city grow and thrive and become a powerhouse like New York or Chicago, like we were back in the day.
Yeah. In our closing moments together, talk to us briefly about somebody's listing and saying, well, I can't afford a designer. A professional designer.
Yeah.
What do you tell that person?
You can come to us. So we're not technically licensed to technically design, but we can help you and guide you to pick out all the different colors of your vanity, your fixtures, your faucets. We can guide you for tile and everything. We also have a lot of contractors we can refer you to that act as designers as well. So you can get a contractor remodeler who can help piece all that together, all the colors, electrician, plumber, tile guy, and everything. So yes, it is very possible to do it on your own. I redid two of my bathrooms actually on my own.
Outstanding.
Some of the designers might kill me for saying that. But yeah, being in the industry, and it's very doable and manageable.
And one more time, give us the two locations and the website and the phone number if you like.
Yeah, so original location in Detroit where we recently relocated is at 150 Parsons Street in Detroit, Michigan, 48201, right on the corner of Cass and Parsons in Midtown Detroit. And our second location can be found in Walled Lake, 1977 East West Maple Road, Walled Lake, 48390. You can find us at www.advancedplumbing.com or on Facebook and Instagram.
Joshua Moss, I got to tell you, man, you're a delight, man.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so we love your passion. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's glad talking to you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Again, Joshua Moss, and he's with Advanced Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and Supply. Doug, my man, it's the long, cold days of February.
Yes, it is.
So just stay warm, my man.
I am. As long as my hot water works, so I can take a hot shower and a nice bathroom.
And if it doesn't work, you call Josh over.
Right. I know a guy who can help me.
Have a great day.
Exactly. You too.
Absolutely. And we want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week, and we will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.